You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Urban bears in Juno, like most spring and early summer seasons, bears begin to frequent neighborhoods and business districts in search of food. This year isn't particularly unique, except that we have a noticeable number of yearling bears that have recently been kicked out by the mom. Joining us now to talk about that is Abby McAllister, Education and Outreach Specialist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Hi, Abby.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Shelley.
Yeah, thanks for being here. It's been a long time.
It has. It's lovely to see you in person.
Yeah, back to Wildlife Wednesdays.
Indeed.
Happy to have you here, and happy to talk about bears. Every time we have this bear talk every year, sometimes I feel like there's not, what else is there to say, right? What is there to say that hasn't already been said? Everybody knows by now. But looking over some of this information about yearling bears, there's actually quite a bit that I learned. So.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm happy to get into it. It is something that we do feel like we're kind of beating the same message out there. But you know, it's good reminders, and I do learn a little bit more every year. So hopefully others do too.
Yeah, I think that we do for sure. So let's just start at the beginning. What is a yearling bear? How do you know when you're dealing with a yearling bear? What do they look like? How do they act?
Sure, absolutely. So, I mean, the way that, kind of the black bear's life cycle goes is that the female, she goes into estrus in the spring if she does not have cubs with her when she comes out of the den. And so the bears will mate in the spring, and then what's called delayed implantation happens. So as long as she gets enough food over the summer and fattens up well for winter, once she goes into the den, the egg will implant, and she will have her cubs in the den. Mm-hmm. When she emerges that spring, they're called cubs of the year. And those are those little fluff ball, larger than a cat or so, that you see them run around with mom. Often black bears will have twins, especially if she's quite healthy. And then those cubs will stay with mom for a year. And so they actually will go back and den with her again. And then that following spring, those cubs have been taught all the skills that they need to survive on their own. And mom will actively and, quite frankly, pretty aggressively kick them out. It's not a pretty sight. So the cubs really get the message, and they are on their own. It's like kind of kicking them out of the nest, and they need to fly. And so what you end up with are a number of bears who are running around town really trying to just figure it out. They are easy to spot. They look a little awkward. They look like an awkward teenager, kind of long limbs, a little bit skinny maybe. Their ears look like they're a little too big for their head. And they can exhibit a couple different behaviors that are pretty indicative of a yearling. So they're either maybe more bold than we would otherwise expect of an adult bear. Maybe they would get a little bit closer approach a human, when a typical adult bear would just run the other direction because they know. Or maybe they're even more skittish. So they might act erratically. What do I do? How
can panic.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I was watching a photographer on the site of Egan Night. It was a visitor, I'm sure. And there was a yearling bear out in the meadow. This was near the intersection of Vanderbilt and Egan. So over in that area. And the photographer was not doing anything wrong, but the yearling bear was out in the middle of this meadow just running around in a panic, not knowing exactly where to escape, where do I go? Mom's not here to tell me what to do. So that's common. But also we find that they get into a lot of trouble. They are probably – they're looking for food everywhere, so they might get up on a porch that's a little bit too close to a sliding glass door, and or they might be in a backyard where maybe someone's never seen a bear in their backyard before. So they're just out there figuring things out. Those are some of the ways to tell that you're dealing with a yearling.
Are there more yearling bears this year than in past years?
So that's something that we don't know for sure, because we don't actively monitor the population numbers here in Juneau. But – Anecdotally, we expected that there would probably be more yearling bears this year because last year we definitely saw and got reports of a lot of cubs of the year. So I know that there were a couple females in the mountainside area near Twin Lakes with three cubs. We did see her again this year with her yearling cubs. So now there are at least three yearlings running around the area of Twin Lakes. And so that's how we know. We had a lot of cubs of the year last spring.
Got it. And so we talked a little bit about what kind of behavior we should expect from a yearling because they are still learning and testing things out and are in places where they may not be expected to be seen. Is there anything that we can do as people to kind of just help them get out of a sticky situation, especially when they're panicking?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, always, of course, we're dealing with bears. So any interaction with a bear, you should treat that animal with the utmost respect. But definitely we encourage people to help that bear redirect with what it's doing. So, you know, if you see a bear doing something it's not supposed to be doing, if a bear is just out doing bear things, eating grass, eating dandelions, they'll be doing that a lot this time of year. We don't have berries in yet. There's no salmon yet. So if they're doing things they're supposed to be doing, great. Let them go for it. If they are, you know, harassing livestock or if they are actively getting into trash, I saw a photo of a yearling bear. I knew it was a yearling because of its size, shape, and physical characteristics. Had opened a car door and had pulled out all of the things inside. It was probably hoping to find food. So in those situations, definitely actively encourage that little one to move on. Banging pots and pans, clapping hands, loud noises. Just yell at that little guy. Air horns could work. If you're in your car and you're driving down a street and you do see a yearling bear, actually any bear for that matter, in garbage, honk your horn. And so those are some things. Just really encourage them to move along and go find wild foods elsewhere because they will. I mean, these bears are not malnourished. They are, you know, not starving, even though they do look a little bit rough sometimes.
Yeah, I think a lot of people might question if a bear is getting enough food in the wild, why is it getting into people's trash and things like that? So that's helpful to know. I mean, how often is it that a bear is actually malnourished or starving?
You know, it's not often, except when bears emerge in the spring. If a bear has gone into the den in poor body condition, maybe it just doesn't have enough of those fat reserves to hold it through the winter, then sometimes those bears will emerge in pretty poor condition and maybe because food is pretty hard to find in the spring, not get enough and just not quite make it. But, you know, we've had situations where we have studied, we collared a couple of black bears in the Mendenhall Valley years ago. And that bear in the spring was frequenting neighborhoods in the evening and had its little route. And we knew that because of the GPS collar locations. But then once the berries came in and once the alpine food sources showed up, it spent the rest of July and August and September up on top of Thunder Mountain. And so these bears are just fine, and if you shoo them away, they'll go find food elsewhere. It's really but, you know, we do see bears in poor condition also when they have become habitual, opportunistic garbage bears. It's really bad for them. We have we've done necropsies on bears where we've had to go in and see what's going on the inside. And what we find in their stomach contents is actually just quite heartbreaking, frankly. And you can tell their coat is dull. They might have bald patches and they just don't look healthy. And so really, truly eating trash for bears, while it may be great for them because leftover pizza, frankly, is far better than the dandelions on the side of the road in their view, it's just truly not good for them.
So I get it, but also, yeah, I understand. Is there you work for Fish and Game. Do you guys offer any resources for people who might be struggling to keep a bear out of their area?
Absolutely. So folks can go online to alaskabears.alaska.gov, and there's a wealth of information on that site, probably more than most people, you know, would be even interested in. But every situation, urban bears, backcountry, how to deter a bear, bear safety. So alaskabears.alaska.gov is where they can go. But if they're seeing a bear that is truly repeatedly getting into garbage or repeatedly, you know, showing interest in a livestock flock or potentially create, you know, being aggressive, that is a good time to just call Fish and Game. And you can call any of our local offices, whether it's the Juneau office or the Douglas office, and those numbers are readily available on our website, or just quick Google search will get you there. And those are situations we do want to hear about, and we'll go from there. So.
Yeah. How would you guys respond to a call like that?
Well, if the bear was actively getting into garbage and is a repeat offender, we probably would. You know, that would be a situation where that bear may or may not be able to have its behavior changed, but we would probably trap it and unfortunately euthanize the bear. Mm. We have attempted to relocate bears, but there's so few times that that's been successful. Bears are creatures of habit,
really?
And they really do find their way back. So the amount of resources and effort and time that goes into relocation to have them just come back, we found is unfortunately not an approach that works. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the folks can do their part to secure that trash. So we just don't, you know, add to any problems that we might otherwise be able to avoid.
Right. Sounds like it's much easier just to prevent the bear from ever getting into your garbage or whatever in the first place.
Absolutely.
Do you think Juneau does a pretty good job with that as a community?
You know, we have been seeing improvement for sure. We had a couple record years, 3-4 years ago now, we had a record number of bear calls. And we've increased our outreach and increased our canvassing. So we'll go into neighborhoods, knock on doors, and put stickers on garbage cans to remind folks that this can is not bear resistant and there is an ordinance and you can't put your trash out until 3 a.m. on trash day. And it's gone down. It's been helping. So people are doing their part. We appreciate that very much.
Well, that's great to hear. One last question about yearling bears I meant to ask a few minutes ago, but are they dangerous? Do they typically get into aggressive situations with humans or dogs?
That's a good question. So we are so lucky in Juneau that we I can't think of a single you know, really, really bad situation where a person was severely injured by a bear in Juneau. That is fantastic. Mm-hmm. We've had a couple situations where actually, yeah, a dog not on a leash brought a bear back to the dog. The dog aggravated the bear. The dog ran back to the human because it's like, oh, shoot, what did I do? Bear's running after the dog. Dog hides behind the human. And the bear actually just knocked the human down and then ran away.
Wow.
And, you know, everyone's really lucky in that situation. But that's about that's about the most serious it's gotten. like I said, as always, bears should be treated with respect. And of course, if you see a mom who still has cubs with her, she likes a lot of space. And if bears do find a natural food source, let them be. Let them enjoy their meal.
Oh, that's great. Again, very interesting conversation. I learned a lot about yearling bears that I did not know before. So I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about that. I think a lot of people found that interesting and informative. But speaking of interesting and informative, mm-hmm. I want to change gears a little bit. You'd mentioned you have a group of classes coming up. Becoming an Outdoors Woman is a series of classes that Fish and Game offers all throughout the state of Alaska, and I've taken them myself. I love them. They're so awesome, and now you have classes that are coming up, and they're not filled.
They are not
open.
Full.
So we're going to fix that.
So if you are listening and you don't have any plans on Saturday, this Saturday, June 25th, we have a cluster of 4 classes happening. They are from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the indoor shooting range on Montana Creek. The classes are smoking, pickling, gravlock salmon. I believe we have one slot open in that right now. We have Archery 101, and we do have quite a few slots open in that one. And we have Outdoor Survival with our good buddy Riley Woodford. He's a fantastic instructor. All of our instructors are fantastic, but Riley's going to be up a little bit with Sounds Wild. And then we also have Intro to Riflery and Firearms Handling. Now we've, you know, whether it's because people just made other plans or maybe, you know, they did test positive with COVID, which that's just happening, or they just couldn't make it for whatever reason. We have had some movement. Now, to register for these classes, if you're interested, and they're ridiculously affordable, go to bow.adf, bow.alaska.gov, bow.alaska.gov, or you can just Google Becoming an Outdoor Woman Juno. If you click on the Registrations and Classes tab, look for the classes happening this weekend. Now, when you open up any of these to register, it's going to say zero of however many seats available. Don't worry about that. Go ahead, and if you're interested, submit your registration. That'll come directly to me, and I'll be giving you a call and taking it from there. So we really hope to have these classes filled. Our instructors are fantastic, and we want to make sure that those 3 hours that they're there teaching their really awesome skill, that it's worth it for them as well. And the participants have a blast. I mean, I'd love to learn riflery sometime. Just haven't had a chance yet.
All those classes sound great. Smoking, pickling, gravelox, archery, outdoor survive. What was it?
Survival? Outdoor survival.
Outdoor survival and riflery and firearms. Those. I hope that you get some takers on those, because I know they'll be super interesting and just helpful.
Yeah, Good stuff to know. All hands-on, which is really great. That's our motto, is hands-on teaching, hands-on learning, and hopefully, yeah. I think they're going to go great. So I'm looking forward to it myself.
Well, I'm very excited to hear about that. And thanks again for being here today. Abby McAllister, a wildlife education and outreach specialist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Anything else that you want to share with us today before we say goodbye?
I just want to say thank you. Thanks for having me on. And hope to be back again soon talking more about Alaska's amazing wildlife.
I hope so, too. It's always great to have you on. So thanks again for being here.